I guess I'll get started. I know Betsy and her daughter Shiver to come in. So most of you all are repeats, but I want to welcome the new folks and just give a little bit of my background for those who are hearing this for the first time. This session is going to be about finding your artistic voice through abstract art. I am going to be referencing this book. This is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, and a lot of people here have read it. Have you all read it before? No? 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 Okay. I highly recommend this book. No, it's okay. I highly recommend this book. It talks about, you know, a spiritual path to finding creativity and reconnecting with your creative side, your inner creator, she calls it. So I started painting in this style in October of 2020. At the time I was working full-time as a director of development at a nonprofit organization in Seattle. Come on in. I'm just telling a little bit about my story. Yeah. And I was working full-time 40 hours a week. And even before that, when I was working, I was so excited when I could shut down my computer, turn off the Zoom calls, and start painting. And I started off doing watercolor painting. That's how I started. And really, it was just for fun. I would just look at watercolor paintings on Pinterest, and then I would try to mimic them. And I often would paint with my daughter. So this is a piece that we did together. She painted the background, and I was really into line art at the time, and so I painted a little face on it. And so I was just experimenting with different things that were easily accessible to me. I had the problem that she talks about in the book, Julia Cameron, of not thinking that I should spend money or spend a lot of time doing this because, you know, this wasn't my job. This was just something fun I did on the side. And so I just got some cheap watercolors, some cheap paper, didn't really matter. And then as I started doing it every day, I said, oh, why don't I like get nicer paper? So I started getting nicer paper. It was like a treat for myself. It was a luxury. But she talks about how we shouldn't think of art that way. Art doesn't have to be a luxury. It can be something that we include every day in our lives. And so what started out was just this little, fun things we did after work. I started doing a fluid acrylic scrape painting. And I discovered fluid acrylic paints from a fellow artist, and I wanted to use them. He was using them similar to watercolor paints. And I couldn't mimic his technique very well, so I had a lot of fails, basically. So I said, what am I going to do with all this paint? And so I started scraping it just across canvas with paper similar to this paper. I would just scrape it. And I got this really amazing technique. And then I started doing it more and more, and I discovered that I could make it look like people. You can see this one here. This one is called Moments of Joy. This one behind me. And then I did another one today. So I try to make my pieces look like people of all ethnic backgrounds coming together, because that represents my childhood. I grew up in a very diverse background in my church community, actually. My father's Persian, my mother's African American, and then even, there was a large Hmong population in Minneapolis where we grew up, and this is a really, cultural diversity is definitely valued in my life and in my experience. And so I try to represent that, and I try to show that, and I also try to show families, aunties, uncles, people holding their children, people embracing, people hugging. So the word today is embrace.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a quick question? When you say scraping, does that mean like a blob, and then you scrape the blob?
Yeah, it could be a blob, a drop, whatever.
Okay.
And I'll show you a video.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm charming.
And so I often do this with my daughter. Like I said, I started doing this technique because I needed something that was really fast, and watercolor takes a lot of time, you know, to really get the precision right. And she would often get annoyed with me that how long I was taking painting. Like, mommy, I'm done. I did my piece. I'm like, well, I'm not done yet. And so I needed a technique that, you know, didn't take that long. So she often paints next to me. This is a piece that she did. And what oftentimes I'll do is, after she's done with it, then I'll go through and scrape it, scrape the extra paint off, or use it for a separate canvas. And then sometimes she scrapes with me too when I'm doing a larger piece. So here's a video of us painting together. And I also believe in using tools that you have around the house. So this was some spare wood that my husband had, and he bought a door sweep, and he just kind of screwed it together. And this is a really large, long canvas that I was working on, but she was helping me.
In a pretty dress.
Of course. Oh, it's supposed to be turned around, but.
Oh, wow.
So that was a really cool piece that I did. And I do want to just mention that another thing in your journey, you discover, again, allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to kind of feed your inter-artist. She talks about that, feeding your well. For a long time, I was just doing this work in my dining room, on my dining room table. And then it came to a point, you know, after I was selling many, many pieces, I was like, I need a studio. And I tell my husband, he's like, hey, just take the garage then, just make it your studio. And I was like, oh, I could just use a garage, duh. And so he set up, saddle horses. So he set those up for me and like made a table for me, and he made me this tool. And so now I have like my artist studio in my garage, and it's my space just to, you know, create and do my own thing. So.
How beautiful that your husband made that. It's like a whole permission.
Right. Yeah, she talks about that in the book, about how it's really important to have people around you who are, supportive, right? There's an activity that she even talks about, writing a list of people who are supportive and who may not be as supportive. And make a circle, draw boundaries for yourself, right? Who do you want in that circle when you talk about your creative pursuits? Who do you want outside of that circle? You may not cut them out of your life completely, but when it comes to your creativity, you don't want all of these negative naysayers. Yeah.
May I just add another technique that I've seen that in a book is like just on a post-it.
Oh.
You know, so depending on where you are, your journey of knowing exactly who that short list of people are that you're willing to consider their opinion, you know, with against anybody else, just boundaries. And so that is another, whatever stage we're in for that, we have to like decide, like, am I going to listen to that person, or is that like kind of they're telling their own advice, versus like on a post-it, and then you just think, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then I don't have to like push anybody out per se, I just know like who is on my post-it.
Yeah, I like that.
And then everybody else has a different freedom because they can't hurt me.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Cool.
I think it's good if we introduce ourselves now. Let's introduce ourselves so that we can share more too. So if you could introduce yourself with your name, your pronouns, where you live, if you want to share that, and then also maybe a creative pursuit that you're interested in exploring right now, or something that you have been practicing for a while. So I'll start. My name is Jale. I use she, her pronouns. I live on the Duwamish territory in Seattle. And a new creative pursuit I am pursuing is learning more about NFTs, which is digital art. If you want to talk about cryptocurrency and art, we could talk about that a lot. So, but Rachel, I invite you to share.
My name is Rachel. I use they, them, and she, her pronouns. I live in Boston, and something I've been experimenting with more has been collage.
Great. Would you like to invite someone, Rachel, to share? Would you like to invite someone to share?
Yes. Stacey, what do you want?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm Stacey, and I use she, her pronouns. And I took, during COVID, I took a class at the Grunewald Guild where we did, every day for 5 days, we did a different form. And so that was just a nice introduction. And collage was really fun because when you're talking about people who are supportive, you know, my husband was like, what is with all the trash? Supplies, you know, so
I could hear Dee saying that.
Yeah, I was using the table in our living room, so I understand that part. So I think being able to see how that could be transformed into something lovely.
Yeah.
I'd like to invite you.
I'm Sandy from Evans, Washington, and she, her, and I'm looking to do as much learning about abstract art related to my Christian faith. And, Ruth.
We came up together. Ruth, Elsie, Schieffer. I've been working the last, 8 months or so trying to both create my own art and support other people creating art for use in worship. And in the process, I was talking with Jayla before, I'm also struggling on trying to find resources on creating art that isn't white-centered. How we do that in an abstract form without slipping immediately into, black is dark and evil and turn away from that. So, I'm a user.
Hi, I'm Joe. I use she, her. I live in Arcata, California. And I really haven't been doing much art at all, so that's why I come here. When I do, maybe just drawing or making things with my daughter. And I invite you.
I'm Janet Everett, and I have been working on color pencils.
Yeah.
Color pencils.
My brother-in-law in Wisconsin leads a Zoom Bible study every Sunday morning. And so during the Bible study, I take a piece of produce.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to with my colored pencils, and sometimes I use the watercolor pencils.
Oh, I like those.
And just try to. Yeah. And so I've been pretty good about doing every Sunday, except if I have something else going.
That's
it's my just a little bit of. What's it called?
Like a creative practice.
Yeah, and just but also it's something that it's not ritual. What is the word that I'm thinking of that is like a discipline?
Discipline.
Mm-hmm. It's a discipline that I'm working on. So.
Oh, can I say something real quick? I forgot to mention for people that came in, you can color and stuff while we're talking too. You don't have to feel like you have to like. Okay. Anyway.
Thank you.
Please, Elise.
Thank you. That's cool. I just looked down and saw these, and it's really exciting. And I just want to say my name is Elise, and I use she/her pronouns. And I want to say thank you so much, Jale, for this beautiful opportunity to explore with you and all of you. I think that. If I were to identify a focus of this season, it would be finding flow and how to feel the co-creation that's possible and how moving and how fun it is and how profound doing art in a setting that is the right,
Do you want to invite someone to share?
Would you like to share?
Sure. My name's Gabe. I use he, him pronouns. I'm from Skagit County, Washington. And I guess a creative pursuit that I've always been interested in is music and just making sounds and stuff. But I also, I guess just recently, I've just been interested in the concept of creating something artistic and the process behind that, whether it be, drawing or painting or music or literature, whatever it may be, in what form. And I just think that's.
Okay. My name is Betsy, and we're kind of a team here. My daughter's name is?
Yeah.
And she wants to be an author or when she grows up.
Very cool.
So there's one TV show called Pair of Kings, but you changed it to Pair of. So that's beautiful. And during COVID, our family made 2 family videos singing about COVID and being poor and washing hands. And we did one in English and one in Spanish. And I guess right now I'm kind of working on dreams and writing and maybe. But it's little right now.
Yeah.
Oh, and we both use she, her, and We live in Rainier Beach.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for sharing about your own creative pursuits. So, was thinking that we could start with doing a little bit of collage. Playing off of what we heard yesterday with the quilts, how can we piece together from these previous mistakes or these fails? I don't look at them as fails. I think they're just practice rounds, you know? But I think that we can turn something beautiful into from this. In her book, in Julia Cameron's book, she talks about using collage to kind of, as a vision board, almost like envisioning what you want your future to look like. Or you can also represent what your past looked like through these pieces, and you can represent both on the paper. So I have scissors, I have glue sticks, colored pencils. I thought maybe we would take 10 to 15 minutes doing this part, and then we'd get into the painting. Okay, so if you could represent your, again, how you envision your creative future to look like. So, I just have an Instagram up of this artist that I follow through a friend. Her name is Lenencia. She's based in Houston, and she's a collage artist. She often uses quotes in her collage, and she uses images from newspaper. She uses, like in this one, you can see she has some baby's breath and nails. She has a nail in there. She uses all kind of really cool things. She did with a newspaper. But anyway, if you're looking at this one, I love this one. Maybe I can pull it up. It's like a little girl skipping rope. Huh. It's collage.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really beautiful. And she uses, like I said, she uses newspaper, she uses colored photos, her old photos, and she just makes really beautiful things, so I recommend following her if you want to follow artists. Hers is LAR Artists Art Studio.
What's her name?
Lenencia. It's LAR Art Studio on Instagram. I don't know what her website is, sorry. Lenencia, this is her name, Lenencia.
I
did it when my daughter went abroad.
So, to follow her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another artist that I really like that does abstract. This woman.
Down somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh,
put
it
right
down.
I
can't
need your way.
I don't need to.
Okay. So there's a.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna have to ask. Where is it? Like, can we write down the artists you recommended?
Here it is. So, another thing I like about, you know, learning about new artists is that you discover new tools. So, has anyone heard of the Catalyst Wedge? Yes, tool. Yes. Okay. You are the acrylic artist. So
yes.
This is a Catalyst Wedge.
Usually not this dirty,
but they come in different widths. They come with some have textures on them, like little nubs and things like that. And this artist introduced me to them because you can see her work. You probably won't let me play a video, but she just uses it, the way she uses it just is a really cool abstract. Here's one that she makes. No, you don't have to be on.
No, you don't have to. You can just type it to use it on your
computer. Yeah.
You can use it on your computer.
Oh, you want to take a picture of her name? Here's her name.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
And I think she's in Canada. But, yeah, her work is really cool.
Even if you don't use it on Instagram, you've got the teenager.
Yeah, here's a different Catalyst Wedge that has like grooves in it. So sometimes it's fun just to pick up a new tool and to try it out. This also looks like something that you find in the kitchen, like a silicone or something, scraper, right? You could try that. So
you can also go to like Home Depot where you like use a lot of the metal scrapers for painting and grout and all that kind of stuff. So they have edges and they're metal and they're cheaper than the catalyst stuff.
Yeah, because this is $10, the catalyst wedge. So it's quite expensive.
Get at the art store, sorry, is it the art store?
Yeah, I got this from Blick in Seattle, Capitol Hill. But you can probably order it online. I don't like shopping on Amazon, so they probably have it.
But there's some people from Edmonds. If you have Edmonds, it's a fabulous art store called Art Spot. So if you, if you haven't checked them out, they're great and they're really knowledgeable on helping.
That's great.
It's a good help.
Yep.
Okay. Is anybody ready to share?
For artists.
Or no? Is anybody ready to share their collage?
I'll share mine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Please. Oh, I love that. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It started with four hearts, and there are four people in our family. We're not a perfect family. We argue a lot. but there's all the different pieces because we're still a family.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else ready to share?
Mine is just... because sometimes it feels like it's spiraling out of control, but that's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. If we could do two more shares and then we're gonna do another activity.
Kind of working on blossoming with my creative spirit. You've got some of the dark behind, you've got some pieces that cover up a little bit, and growth coming about.
Nice. Looks beautiful.
Kind of like fire and a chalice,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
You said you're looking at Christian art. Yeah.
Do you want to show yours, Sandy?
Mine's like light, you're going along sailing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at it anyway.
That's
abstract. Right side up.
Cool.
I love that. Cool. Anybody else before we move on?
I'm not done. I'm not shot. this is going to be hard. And so then this is, I don't know, the only thing that's like, I have to explain, I guess, is interpretation. Is like kind of this little drop, I guess. It's going to like start like a little drop of cookie rain or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. It could be anything. And then it starts forming into a heart, kind of, and then it hits this like whoosh love. And there's like some mountains, and there's also this kind of bump kind of thing.
Or like a heartbeat.
A heart that's right side up that like knows what it's doing. Mm-hmm.
Aw, that's wonderful.
Nice.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, so this is, I often will paint over things that I thought didn't turn out well, and sometimes you get really beautiful backgrounds that you would never have gotten if you had, not failed. So, don't be afraid to fail.
I'm sorry, that's so cool. May I request an artist interpretation? Can you tell me what's happening there? That's so cool.
I like I said, the catalyst wedge, I just use the catalyst wedge to scrape the canvas, and it just creates these patterns. And so really that's what it was. I painted over that, but I mean, I made a painting. I used to, I put people over it.
Cool.
So.
That's beautiful.
I don't even remember the name of it, but. But yeah, so. Okay, so we're gonna do the classic people hugging, okay? So again, from the Samaritan Traveler, Luke 10, can we talk about how our humanity is interconnected, interwoven, and that we have a need to be in relationship with one another. And I really hope that when people see these paintings, that they feel that hug, right? They feel that connection to others. So we're gonna try to recreate it. I have some video examples. Oh, I have some tools too, but I don't know if we'll have time to get to it. We have some affirmations. So anyway, this is probably like my most famous painting because of the video I made with the Love Actually quote playing in the background. It's called Spirit of Community, and you can see the arms embracing. And then here's some other examples I have. I can show this one. This is how I do background sometimes. I'll just squeeze directly on, and then I'll take the catalyst wedge and kind of play with it like that. Again, in my living room, my dining room.
Right on the carpet.
And then I took it outside and did the rest. Oh, and there are the circles I was telling you about. Because the circles also stay in place.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. That was the first big painting I did.
I see. Oh, right.
And then I'm in my bedroom photographing myself. Okay. That was one, and then here's another example. Oh, this place. Okay, so those were just two examples of the embrace. So we're going to try to create this. And we're going to use some paint, so if we could clean up a little bit. I have a this red container to put all the scraps. Or you could just put it to the side.
Oh, let's get all this good. Oh. Yeah. Look at all these good raw materials in this box.
Yeah, we'll use it again
tomorrow.
So, while we're cleaning up, I'm just going to tell the folks who weren't here before. But I often use acrylic paint, but you can really use whatever you have access to. If you have, you know, old craft paint in your house, or if you have tempera paint. This is tempera paint. This one is from Utrecht. You can use really whatever you have to do the style that I do. And you can use canvas. This is a canvas. Today we're going to use some cardstock paper. If you have watercolor paper, whatever you have, it will work. You can see I just did those like on that regular poster paper. So you're going to want to make sure your area is clear because it's going to get a little messy. But you can leave the, you can get, of course, paint on the plastic, so it's okay. So I'm going to just demonstrate how I do this. I mean, you saw the video, but I'll demonstrate one more time. And then I will give you all, today we're using these screen printing scrapers for our scrapers. This is what we have here. So again, use whatever you have access to. I did bring my squeegee, so I'm going to use that. So I have found that, and we're going to have to share paint too because we don't have that much, but you can make your people as big as you want or as small as you want. Just want to make mine a little bit bigger. Sometimes I do mine in numbers, so like patterns, so threes. I don't know why three is calling to me today, so I'm just going to do that. And I just kind of layer the drops of paint together. Right. So it's kind of up for your interpretation, right? Like, depending on how many drops you add, it will look like, you know, they're just long people. Oh no, this one was not working. I might go down and get a needle. Well, actually, I have a needle. Okay. Okay, so you can do more. And then I just take the paint and I just make the arms how I want them. So just make a swoop. I'm just gonna make two swoops. Okay? Ooh. And then I'm just gonna take my squeegee and apply some pressure and scrape. And then you have the people with the arms, okay? And if you've already done that before, you're like, did that already a couple days ago. You can practice circle scraping. which I think is difficult. I don't know if you all have done it. Have you all done circle scraping? Mm-hmm. Okay.
This one is.
Okay. What is this one working? Some of them you will see the consistency is thinner or thicker. This is how it is. You can always add water to any water-based paint. Make sure it's water-based though. If you have a Lazy Susan, I've heard it's better. I don't have a Lazy Susan. Okay, but you get the idea, right? You can kind of play around with it, do a couple on a page, do it as big or as small as you want. So that's another idea to do. Okay, so you all have some, you have that paper. If you need more paper, I have some right here.
Okay, so we use this. More we use this.
You're going to use this one.
Oh, no, I mean first.
Yeah, for this. Or you can use the paper for the scraper, or you can use these screen printing squeegees. You want to move to the middle so we can share better? Okay. Yeah. I know some people don't normally use like white or black, but I love using white and black paints to add kind of some dimension.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay to shake them if they come out?
Oh, please shake them, yeah. Especially those that are really old.
Although I'm like, those beautiful pastels.
And these two work too. In that. Let me get my needle.
Oh, yeah.
And try to open those up.
Go, Joe, go.
Yeah. She's too afraid to grab your water bottle.
Oh, yeah. No,
I saw that too. He's like,
oh, mustard. Cool. Mustard on a hot dog.
I like mustard.
I love this color.
It's really bright.
Okay, it's going to work. So, let me pass around the squeegees too when you're ready. And then I put brushes out today in case you want to use a brush just to play around. Maybe with the background. Yeah, you can use that if you want to. Oh, yeah, see, that looks great. You could try with one of these, but it's hard, the control part.